we do ask that you just magnify yourself in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just move throughout this congregation. Lord, that you would just flow through this house. Lord, that anything that is not of you would just be removed from this place. Any distraction that we might have brought in our own minds, we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to refocus our minds on you, Lord. That we come and we worship you. We put our attention and our focus on you. And we put our affections and our attention on you, Lord. We love you, God. Thank you, God, for your goodness towards us. For you are a good Father, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Father's Day to all you dads. So glad that you're here with us today. I think that's a big move in itself, by the way. Men, we lead by example. And so by you simply being in the house of the Lord, you're letting your kids know this is important. This is important. We lead by example. We show them, not just tell them, but we show them the value of worship. We show them the value of coming in to the house of the Lord and with his people. We are co-laboring with God. Amen. That's what we are doing. We are co-laboring with God. The co-mission is that we go and make disciples. But, you know, it also, we've been told well before that, that we are to, before we go, we are to make disciples in our own home. And so we are co-laboring with God in that mission. And I love going to Israel. We've been to Israel numerous times. So love Israel. And my first sabbatical, I spent there. My family and I spent 6 weeks there in Nazareth and became almost like family with some of the Arab Christians there in Nazareth. And what I began noticing just kind of throughout the whole area is that all of their houses, which are kind of made out of concrete, they're not like wood structures like we have, but there'll be rebar sticking out of the walls all the way around each house. And so I began, you know, as a former builder, I wanted to kind of question them on these things. They said, well, it's easy. He said, what happens in our heritage, in our culture, is that we build on top of our family's home. And so the father would live on the bottom floor, and then his son would build his house above the father. If the father passes away, that son now moves down to the bottom floor, and then his son is on the top floor. And if there's third generation, we have three floors. And so that's why we have the rebar sticking out, because you never know, it might be time to build on one upon the other. I thought, man, that's such a powerful spiritual truth, in that our ceiling will be our children's floor. The height that I have grown in my spiritual walk, I pray that my kids build upon that. And I recognize that the greatest kingdom impact that I'll ever have is probably through my two sons, my grandchildren, but also my spiritual children. It's not just our physical children, but our spirit. We've been called to make disciples. Amen? And so our ceiling becomes their floor. This is what it looks like in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 12, we know him as Abraham, but his first name was Abram. In chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. My first point in my message today is that as spiritual leaders and as godly fathers, we make changes, not excuses. Amen? Y'all talk to me now. Y'all quit being quiet. I need your help. We make changes, not excuses. Abram could have said, hey, I'm 75 years old. It's not, we don't have RVs. It's camels and donkeys. I'm 75. I plan on retiring right now. I'm 75. He could have made excuses. I don't know that country. I know this country. He could have made excuses. But when he heard from God, he says, I'll make changes, not excuses. As spiritual leaders, as godly fathers, we'll make changes, not excuses. I just thinking about during our worship time about my earthly father, my dad. He was in the previous service. My dad had had two back fusions, back surgeries by the time he was 40 years old. My dad worked very hard as a lineman, and then in construction, building the power lines that you see and the substations that you see, and very dangerous work. And before he was 40 years old, he had two sets of vertebrae fused together with a titanium cylinder, and he had already broken one of those cylinders and never had it repaired. But he never sat home and made excuses as to why he couldn't provide for his family. He continued to work and just continued to, he didn't make excuses. Never heard him make excuse. And still to this day, I don't know if y'all, he's in Sunday school, so he don't know what I'm saying right now. But he's wearing shades today because he had eye surgery all month ago or so, I guess. And the hard head went home from having cataract surgery and went to piling up brush and burning brush piles. And messed up his eye. He had to have surgery again on it because he just don't make excuses. He just works. And by the way, that part about being a hard head, I'm still so amazed that from two parents that are so stubborn that it could skip one generation and hit the next. just skip me. I tell Christy it's a miracle. I just don't understand it. It's just a miracle of God. But she disagrees. But but we must make changes in our life to align with God and not make excuses. Amen? Amen. Men often find themselves being very proud of the physical act of protection and provision, and yet make excuses when it comes to spiritual protection and provision. And often don't think that they have what it takes, but you got to understand, God created you the way that he created you for the mission that he had for you. And that is to lead our families in the ways of the Lord. And you just take one right over into the next. The spiritual protection and provision that is yours to do, it's just, you can imagine it in the physical, we'll just step it over into the spiritual. Don't be fearful, be fierce. I mean, be absolutely spiritually violent. Amen. I enjoy violence. We just sang about the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. I'd rather fight on the spiritual level than the physical any day. Why? Because easy. I'm going to be real honest with you. I walk into my house and I tell every lying, perverting, dividing spirit to get out. And you know what they have to do? Get out in the name of Jesus, because we have the authority. We just sang about it. It's awesome stuff. That's not my sermon, but I get off on that stuff every now and then. I get rerouted into men. We must be men, not just in the physical, but into the spiritual. We are to be providers also of the spiritual nourishment that our kids need, even more than the physical nourishment. And so back to Abram, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Everybody catch that? We need to be hearing from God and obeying God. He heard from God and made the changes that he needed to make in order to be in the will of God and for his family. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. This is his nephew. Some of you men are dads who don't have to be. Your father and kids who aren't your blood children. They're maybe stepkids. This is Abram's nephew. Maybe they're spiritual children, adopted children, foster children, whatever it is. But let's continue to lead. Amen. The most powerful position in the world is not the president of the United States. A position of power is one that influences for life change. And the most powerful position in the world is that of a father. For a father has the ability to direct a life and to change and affect a life. And that's what we've been called to do for the glory of God. Amen. Verse 5, then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of the possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. So what you're seeing is Abram didn't stay back and make excuses. He made changes and moved forward. And so this is what we need to be doing. I want to now watch this progression. We're going to move over to Genesis chapter 22. Abram was an old man when he finally had his first son through Sarai, Isaac. And this was the son of promise that God says, it's through him that I'm going to bless the world. I'm going to bless you. Chapter 22, verse 15, we're picking up where Abram is now on the mount with Isaac. And he's about to sacrifice his son because God told him to do it. And so let me kind of catch you up to speed because we're just hopping through and hitting the high points of the scripture. Isaac is now probably a teenager, maybe a young teenager. And Abram is way over 100 years old. And they go to this mountaintop, and it's interesting that Abram is still, he has lived his life on obedience to the Lord. And in verse 15, Abram's about to sacrifice his son. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply." I need you to remember that phrase, multiplying I will multiply. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, "I want you to be fruitful and multiply." It is a kingdom mandate that even if you're not a physical father, to be a spiritual father. Amen? Moms, it's a kingdom mandate to multiply, to have babies. Now, I'm not talking about just necessarily physical babies like Miss Cassie up here. She got four, and Rance wants 12. And I love listening to Craig Rochelle. I think Craig Rochelle has eight children. And I think that's right. People say, "Craig, you must really like kids." He said, "No, I really like my wife." And I think that's important. So, but even if I'm not physically inhabiting the earth, spiritually, I'm meant to spread the kingdom of God. And so Abraham now at this point takes his son and is going to kill him because God said for him to do it. But he so believed God and that God promised that he is going to multiply his family through that boy that God would bring him back to life before he come down off that mountain. That's why Abram said to his servants, "The boy and I will return." Yeah. Amen. He trusted God. And so he says in verse 17, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." I hope that you're seeing the spiritual parallel to the New Testament passage where Jesus says to Peter, when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said to him, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that understands that." That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. A church is to be on the move, on the offense, not on the defense. And this parallel, this Old Testament parallel, God says, "You go out there and multiply, and you will own the gate of your enemies." Mm. Even in our cities, church, we are to take over the dominion of darkness and claim it for the cause of Christ. Amen. Somebody get excited with me, all right? Verse 18, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." It's all about obeying, hearing from the Lord and obeying. Chapter 28 of Genesis. Now we have the next generation. We had Abraham, and then he has a son named Isaac, and Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob is a bit of a scoundrel. He's a trickster. He's already tricked his brother Esau out of his blessing and his birthright. But God's going to use him. He's now running for his life because his brother's after him. In chapter 28, verse 10, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, which is actually his grandfather. But if Jacob will do the way Abraham did, he's like a spiritual father. Obey him, and it's accounted as righteousness. Obey the Lord. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. Abraham's ceiling was Isaac's floor. Isaac's ceiling is Jacob's floor. Jacob, he wasn't a perfect, none of these cats were perfect. They were all pretty flawed. And Jacob would have 12 sons. And by the way, you might remember that Jacob had a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, and he got his name changed that day, and that name was changed to Israel. And then those 12 sons of Jacob become the 12 tribes of Israel. And God has done just exactly as he said he was going to do. Here we are in Genesis chapter 48, verse 3. Then Jacob said to Joseph, his son, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply. And I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting promise. And then you just flip over the page to the next book, the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 7. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Amen. This is what kingdom increase is supposed to look like. Even if it's not your physical child, if it's your spiritual child, one that you have made a disciple out of, you've come along and you have won them to Christ. They have come to realize that their sins have been washed away under the blood of Jesus Christ. They have put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ, saving them. And now we have helped grow them up in their spiritual walk, in their knowledge of the Lord, in the knowledge of the truth. We help grow them up. I've preached now a couple of times a sermon on Father's Day. I didn't do it this year, but it's an archery theme in how we have been called to shape them like an arrow, sharpen them, and shoot them as we launch them out into this world to make a change for the kingdom of God. Amen. That age in which they're in the home, we're shaping them early. And then we're sharpening them, getting ready to go and do kingdom impact. And then we launch them out into the world. This is the role that us fathers have. I love preaching to men. I don't know if y'all get it. I love preaching to men. I love getting to encourage men and to say, hey, you're doing better than you think you are. You're doing better than you think you are. But make changes, not excuses, number one. Number two, make progress, not excuses. Make progress, not excuses. I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Amen. So we need to make progress. Maybe we should never start backtracking. We need to continually make progress. Now, we're going to have some road signs you're going to see on the screen, and these are just things to kind of give a visual of progression and our spiritual growth. When someone is born again, they're a baby in Christ. They're a new creation, but they're still immature. And with that, and that's not a bad thing, unless you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years and you're still a baby, that's a bad thing. We need to get you on a fast track of growth. But if you're a brand new Christian, that you expect an emotional roller coaster. Expect an emotional roller. There will be emotional highs and lows that as you mature will kind of begin to level out. But that when we have a consistency, then it is a greater testimony of who we are in Christ Jesus. But here we are. We're going to start from the zero and we're going to move toward the hero. Amen. So one who is having no effect for the kingdom of God whatsoever. They have no integrity, no consistency. They're not talking it and they're not walking it. Just need to stop doing that, all right? Let's move to the next one. This next person, this is like a progression towards what we need to be as godly leaders. They're still not yet integrity. There's still this up and down, in and out. It's still not very visible yet, but now we're beginning to talk it. Still not a good place if all you're doing is talk and you're not walking the walk. But the next one is we still are immature. It's okay. It's a natural progression, a supernatural progression. But we really must work on this consistency, this integrity. When I talk about integrity, integrity is being one way always. It's not, I'm making a big, bold move for God on Sundays, and then Mondays, I'm out there just looking like hell. It shouldn't be that dramatic change, a Sunday kind of faith. It should be a Monday kind of faith too. But here's where we want to go. We want to go to being consistent, being constant, not only walking it and talking it, but we're living it in front of our children and in front of our friends and in front of our neighbors. I knew a guy who, I shared this the other day. He had numerous children. He was a missionary. And this missionary, I didn't know him well, but I knew his kids. And I knew that as soon as they got out of the house, none of them wanted anything to do with church, and none of them wanted to walk with the Lord. I thought, well, I can tell you most likely what's behind that. And then I was in his house one day, first time I'd ever been in his house, and I'm trying to not disclose too much, but as I walked into the house, this was in the days of VHS and DVDs. I think the transition was happening at that time period. And I walked into his house. There was a wedding going on in his front yard. His daughter was getting married in their front yard. And I walk in, and this lazy loafer was sitting in the recliner, didn't even acknowledge that a guest had walked into his house. He was so glued to his big screen TV, and the whole wall of his living room was bookshelves, and from one side to the other was solid movies. And then I thought, the lack of consistency, the lack of integrity, all he was doing was talking the talk, but his kids watched his walk. And none of them wanted anything to do with the Lord. None of them wanted anything to do with the church. And it all became very clear to me that day. We can make big, bold speeches to our family. We can make big talk and say, this is what this house is going to do. And yet when we don't consistently live it out, they're saying, that's a phony right there. And what the faith that you have, I don't want it. And so men, we must, as fathers, lead our kids, our grandkids, our nephews and nieces. We must say, this is what a continual, consistent life looks like. Another story. We had a young man that we were trying to disciple, and he'd been coming to my house for over a year for a small group, and he still had not come to Christ yet. And one day I just nailed him down and said, hey, what's the deal, man? Well, you know this truth of this gospel. Why? He said, let me tell you how I was raised. He said, I was raised by a father who was a drunk, that he would have a life change, and he would come in and go through the house and tell us what we're going to start doing and what we're not going to do anymore and make us get up early on a Sunday morning, and our whole life would change for about a month. And then he would go back to being a mean, hateful, old abusive drunk again, and then here we go again. He would find Jesus another day, and then everything would change again. He said, until I can recognize that I can be consistent, I don't want to come to Christ. I said, well, I understand your issue, but I'm going to tell you another thing. We don't get cleaned up to come to Christ. We come to Christ, he'll clean us up. Amen. And by the way, he did come to know the Lord. Praise God. By the way, I baptized him. And I know this service is live streamed, so he might hear about this. And he'd tell you everything I'm saying is true. He was a big old stout roughneck. Lived in the old fields. And when I baptized him, I had him. And I dipped him down, and I just held him. I said, he made me wait. He made us wait. Now I'm going to make him wait. Because he went to squirming and, you know, started bubbling a little bit. So I let him up. But what a powerful statement he made. He said, the faith of my father didn't mean anything to me. In fact, it did the opposite. It made me not want to walk in this relationship with the Lord. We must have that consistency. We must have that integrity. It's of much greater impact than just big, bold statements. So we make changes, not excuses. We make progress, not excuses. And we make a difference, not excuses. Amen? I don't know if you noticed that there's one phrase that got used every time. No excuses. No excuses. I just hate excuses. And I love when someone says, well, if this ain't working, I want to change something. And even if it don't work, at least they didn't continue doing the thing that wasn't working. Amen. To make a difference, if you're recognizing that something's not working, do something different. Praise God. Do something. It drives me insane to keep doing the same thing for just to watch somebody continue to do the same thing and it's broke. And I say, fix it. Fix it. Do something different. We have been called to make a difference. If the routine that you're walking through is broken, do something different and make a difference. We are called as spiritual leaders to be bold and courageous. We've been called to take risks. Amen? Amen. Take risks. We've been called to be consistent, to be integrous, and that we are going to not just speak it, but to model it in front of those around us. And then I want to finish with this. To be a godly man, we need to be a man like God. Constant, consistent, kind, and generous, loving. And then also, so I know this might sound like a weird word in the middle of all that I've said, verbal. Verbal. I've heard it said way too many times, and it was attributed to a father of the faith. Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Can I just tell you, it's always necessary to use words. But not only that, when it comes to being influential upon those who we have in our sphere of influence, use your words. Here's Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is about to be baptized by John the Baptist. As John dips him into the water and brings him back up, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, Matthew 3:17, and God the Father, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved. God the Father. This is Jesus constantly pulling away and spending time with his heavenly Father. But God said, there's no honor like public honor. I want them to hear, I am pleased with my son. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect one, never sinned. Never failed. He was not flawed any way whatsoever. And yet, God says he still needs to hear me say that I love him. And that I'm proud of him. That I'm pleased with him. And so, I want to now flip over. That was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Towards the end in Matthew chapter 17. It is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop. Verse 5, it says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Son obeyed. And now God the Father is telling the disciples of God the Son, not only am I pleased with him, you need to do what he says. And so we see the progression. We see the kingdom increase. These 12 wild boys that Jesus called, I like to call them, it's a new thing for me, the wild boys. They were the wild boys. Peter, James, and John, crazy fishermen. James and John were called the sons of thunder. They said, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven? They didn't hear us. We're going to kill them, right? And so Jesus, these were the wild boys. And here's what God the Father says. Just as he did what I said, you need to do what he says. And the progression continues. We want to have a time of invitation. I want to have a word of prayer. Just encourage us, everyone, as spiritual leaders, to make changes, not excuses. Make progress, not excuses. And make a difference, not excuses. Father God, I pray that you would so bless every one of us with such a burning passion for you. Lord, I have a belief that the reason our faith does not get handed off most of the time is because of a lack of passion. Lord, I pray that you would refuel our passion, refuel our fires. Lord, that we would absolutely just live out a life of passion and faith before our kids, before those that we influence, that we would live out that life of passion before them in order that they might recognize that there is a change in us. There's something different in us than is in the world. And Lord, that as we do that, Lord, that we would recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. And Lord, our sphere of influence would continue to be affected by it. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. We want to live for you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.